Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning as we come into your presence. We are so thankful, Lord, that there are many people who have taken the time to really early to have a heart that is settled or to hear your word. Father, we are so thankful that in the midst of the turmoil of this world, the midst of all the different things happening in our lives and in the world and in Singapore, that we do have, you have set aside a place and a time that we can just sit still and be quiet in our hearts before you. Father, sometimes the things of this world can seek to overwhelm us, seek to make us forget, Lord, the more important things of life. Lord, I pray that every time Sunday comes or Friday night comes or discipleship group comes, we will have a heart of peace to know, Lord, you have provided us an opportunity just to get our orientation back, Lord, to you. We thank you for the brethren that have come, for those who are coming. I pray especially for those who are sick. I pray for Brother Desmond at this time, who is very sick at home. I pray you take care of him. And also Sister Jimmy cares for him. I pray you bless them. And also take care. Raise him up quickly, Lord. For others who are sick, I ask you, Lord, to also raise him up quickly, because you are the physician. But we can pray that you might work in their lives. So right now, even as we embark on this new series of learning, I pray our hearts will be open, that we will know for sure, Lord, the things that are surely taught among us in your word. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to our hearts, because Sunday school, as children learn the word of God too, I pray it will be anchors, Lord, in their lives. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, today we're going to be looking around today. We're going to begin a whole new series. We just finished on the Lord's guidance in our lives. Talk about guidance on careers, guidance on courtship, guidance on church, and making decisions in our lives. Okay, we are going to be looking at a whole new series in the next 2 to 3 months on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ specifically. Okay, and we want to look at his teaching on himself, God. We'll be looking at other areas such as humility, prayer, what it means to be faithful. We'll look at Jesus himself as he taught on faith. And we'll be looking at marriage and divorce. All right, it's just amazing the things that are happening. But what does Jesus teach? So as a church, we clearly knew what our Savior teach in the Bible. And for us to be able to be very clear in our hearts when we counsel people, that it will be genuinely from the Word of God. Okay, we'll be looking also at areas of love. Okay, we'll look at family love, brotherly love, divine love, God's love, false love, and Jesus talk about all these things. We'll be looking at authority as well. What did Jesus say about authority, all right, when he taught, when he was around? So we'll be looking at a whole range of topics, specifically from the lips of our Savior. So hopefully that would actually give us a good grounding, all right, at least up to the end of the year, all right? Let's look at Matthew chapter 28 first. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Also just came in. There are some notes at the side. There are many verses because what I want to do is to trace through the life of Jesus Christ, okay, as he traced through the life of Jesus with regards to who he is and how God wants to work through him. Okay, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. For those who just came in, we are beginning a whole new series on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking at the whole area of what Jesus taught about different topics. All right, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. All right, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay? In this passage, we know it is the Great Commission. Okay, it is a great commission of the church. Every church in Singapore and the world must be governed by this great commission. Okay, a church is not a social organization as in a charity work. A church is actually a spiritual organization governed by a clear mission from God, which is to do 3 things. Evangelize, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Okay, if you have pencil and note, please take down It will help you in your Bible study. The word teach there has the idea of an enrollment, getting an enrollment. All right? In the Greek word, it means to enroll. In other words, going there for an enroll all nations. What does it mean? To evangelize all nations, to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. So what do you do after that? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So baptism. And later on, which is our focus for our Sunday school for the next few months, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The Lord Jesus Christ embed in His Great Commission the teaching and discipling of everyone who will come into His kingdom. Okay? It involves teaching. Teaching is the instruction of the word. It involves training. And it involves practicing the word. Every believer, after becoming a Christian, has to go through the process of growing more and more to be like Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do to understand. For us to be disciples of the Lord Jesus, we must know who He is, what He taught, what are the heavenly truths that He taught, so that it will be useful for us to imitate Him and transfer to the next believer and so on. It is never God's intention for Him to save us and live our own life. Never God's intention for us to be say, oh, we are Christians and do our own thing. It is God's intention for everyone to be saved, and then later on, as a evidence of his salvation, to be baptized, and then join the church, and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's interesting because in the Bible, the word Christian only occurs one time. Acts 11:26. Many times, every Christian is known as what? The disciples of Jesus Christ. What's a disciple? A follower. Someone who follows earnestly. Okay? I'm going to go through, in today's introduction of the Lord Jesus, Him as our teacher. Okay? And I'll go through that with many verses so that you can actually see how the Lord Jesus taught, what qualities He had. And then, we are going to look at 6-7 lessons we can learn very quickly. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ as our teacher, I want us to look at His words. The verses are there. Some you may have to turn to, but I'll focus on the verses that are there firstly. The Lord Jesus Christ as our teacher. In instruction, there's many times we actually have to use words. The Bible says, look at what Jesus taught, or how He taught. Luke 4:22, the Bible says, and all bear Him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of His mouth. When the Lord Jesus Christ taught, He used words that ministered grace to the people. Because the people look at Him and say, wow, He really had very gracious words for us. He really taught us, okay? And later on, we look at what is the context of Luke 4. And then in John 7:45-46, I'll read again. Then came the officers of the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought them? The soldiers were supposed to arrest Jesus. But then, when He came back to the Pharisees and said, where is He? How come you all didn't arrest Him? You know what? The officers answered, never man speak like this man. You know what it means? We have never heard anyone taught the truth of God the way this man taught. Okay? The words that Jesus used attracted many people to His teaching. The next passage, Mark chapter 1, verse 45. But He went forth and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and came to Him from every quarter. Many people were attracted to Jesus because of His teaching. I want you to follow through the thought, because it's the thought that will then anchor the 7 points. Hopefully we will learn, okay? Many people were attracted to Jesus' teaching. But what was Jesus' first message? Look at Luke chapter 4, and verse 16-30. Let's turn there. The first message that Jesus preached. Many people were attracted to Him. But what was the very first message that He preached? And I want us to notice what is the outcome of His message. Okay, Luke chapter 4. And verse 16. Let me just read. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I think I've mentioned this 1,000 times. But if you look at Jesus in verse 16, coming to church was Jesus' regular habit. under no circumstances did he miss church. Because the Bible says what? He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. That's why he's known as Jesus of Nazareth. And as his custom was, as was his habit, he went into the synagogue, the Jewish place of worship, and he stood up for to read. Okay, so Jesus stood up to read in verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at freedom or liberty them that are bruised." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was reading from Isaiah 61 verse 1. You don't have to refer there, but this is the exact same passage. And Jesus says, God has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. Okay? And what? He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, those who are bound by sin. Recovering of sight to the blind, those who could not see the direction in their lives. And to set at freedom those who are being bruised. Christians, do you realize how powerful our gospel is? The goal of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to set the captives free. People who are bound by the sins of this world, people who have been bruised, people who are brokenhearted, people who are disillusioned, people who are depressed. God's gospel is designed to, and Jesus was teaching that. And in verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, after it's interesting, you must understand the context. The men, the Jewish men during those days, they would take turns to stand up to read the word of God. Okay? And this is something hopefully by next year we'll preach. We'll practice this because in a synagogue, the priest can say, okay, now your turn to read or your turn to read. Everyone will take turns to teach or preach or read the word of God. And Sunday is something we can practice. And then, as Jesus took the scroll, as he read it, in Isaiah 61 verse 1, it's as if a normal every Sabbath day thing, people will just read. But notice what Jesus said in verse 20 and 21, or rather the Bible says, after Jesus read it, he closed the book, he gave it to the minister and sat down. The Bible says all the eyes of them were fastened on him. Verse 21, it seems as if the way he read it, there was something coming out from him. The people were saying, who is this guy? And notice what he said in verse 22. This day, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? You know what he's saying? You guys have been waiting for the last 700 years when Isaiah wrote this. Today, that verse is accomplished. And this guy is saying, what? What do you mean? What was the first response of the people? Did you know that they wanted to kill him? The Bible says in verse 22, firstly, they begin to wonder and bear him witness and wondered at his gracious words. The words that were taught from the Bible were gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And he said, and Jesus knew their heart and said, ye will surely say unto me, this proverb, physician, heal thyself, whatsoever we have heard those in Capernaum do here also, thy country. What Jesus was saying here, many of them in verse 28, and all day in the synagogue when they heard these things were filled with wrath. What was the response of the word of God when Jesus taught it to the people? Number one, they realized those were gracious words. Because they wondered. But Jesus also saw the unbelief in their hearts. When the word of God is taught, let's say for in this situation, in our setting here, there will be some that will receive God's word with joy. There will be some who say, I don't believe that. I don't care. That's not for me. I've got my own philosophy of life. And Jesus actually said that there are some of you who will not listen to his word and as a result you want to kill him. The first message of Jesus in the book of Luke 4:16 roused the conscience of the people. I want us to take note of that because those of us as fathers, when we teach the word, realize that whenever you teach the word, it will rouse the conscience of your family. Because it has to, it's the words of God. And those of us who will preach and teach Sunday school next time, those of us who teach God's word, remember you will rouse the conscience of the people, right? As Jesus taught that, he actually roused the conscience of the people and people wanted to kill him. And in the end, they did. In Matthew 10:34, It's in your notes there. The Bible says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." But then I thought, remember when Jesus came, what did the angels sing? What did the angels sing when Jesus came the first time? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then why is it that Jesus says, "Think not they have come to send peace by the sword"? Now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying this. When he came first time, he wanted to send peace on the earth, which is true. He wanted to make peace with men and God, and men and men. But he also realized the reality that when I preach the word, there will be some people who will love the word, but there will be some people who will hate the word, to the point of killing. That's why many millions of Christians have been killed over the centuries, simply because they love God's word more than their lives, and they are willing to just preach to other people. There will be a sword. If you are a Christian in your home, and you have unsafe relatives in your home, you will find that there are certain things that you just cannot talk to them about without making them angry. The moment you mention Jesus, they ask you to get out of the house. Okay, why? Because it is a divisive truth. All right, and after this, we will talk about that a bit more. Now, moving forward, when Jesus Christ taught, there is two ways he taught: preaching and teaching. Okay, and we need to make a distinction because we practiced an ambassador, and hope you can see the difference. Right? That's why some people who only come for Sunday service realize they always get very uncomfortable. Alright, there's a difference between teaching and preaching. Alright, teaching has for its purpose the instruction of principles and customs whose acceptance of the teaching may be reserved by the individual for his own convenience and deliberation. That simply means after a lesson like this, you go back, you kind of think through, is this true? And what the Bible says this. And kind of like when you go to school, your teacher teach you physics and science and maths, and you will just go through them and say, "Sure, correct or not?" And then you have time to read out. That's teaching. It's instruction. Verbal instruction, that's teaching, okay? Preaching is different. Preaching has to do with the pronouncement of God's truth with the intention to secure immediate response from the hearers. I want us to pay attention to this, because every time on Sunday service, when a pastor or whoever comes here to preach on Sunday service, the intention of the message is not for us to deliberate. We deliberate in our mind, but it is the goal of the preacher is to secure a response to God's word at the time. That's why we don't ask questions during the pronouncement of truth during the preaching session. Does that make sense? It's very important for us to see a difference. Sometimes when Jesus preached, he says, "You make a decision right now." Sometimes Jesus sat down the disciples and explained the parable. And that's when they begin to learn. All right, there's a difference. We're going to be focusing on Jesus as a teacher. He's going to teach us truth. All right, let's now be talking about when Jesus talked about humility, what does he mean? When Jesus talked about marriage and divorce, what does he mean? When Jesus talked about humility, what does he mean? When Jesus talked about forgiveness, what does he mean? We want to look at what Jesus taught specifically in the four Gospels. Okay? So, Jesus as the master teacher, Jesus is two types. In his teaching, he adopts two approaches in his teaching. All right? Look at, okay, he is number one, an evangelical teacher. What does that mean? He was an evangelical teacher. In 1 John 4 verse 9, the Bible says, let's read together. Okay, 1 John 4 verse 9 is right there. 1, 2, go. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Jesus as an evangelical teacher, what does that mean? The meaning of that is the Lord's intention and direction as an evangelical teacher is he's inviting people to repent and believe the gospel. He's inviting people to come to Jesus, come to him for salvation. Many of his teachings centered around coming to Jesus to accept Jesus as personal savior. The goal is to teach the essence of the new life he has to give. Okay? This is important for us when we teach a lesson. Okay, firstly, we are evangelical teachers to imitate Jesus' pattern. Example, in Luke chapter 19, remember, Zacchaeus was saved. There was not much said about what Jesus taught, but it was obvious Zacchaeus trusted Christ that day. Woman at the well, remember John chapter 4, the woman at the well, Jesus went through a whole list of teaching, Initially, Jesus said, all right, give me water to drink. And then this Samaritan woman asking him, hey, how come you're asking me to drink? The Jews and the Samaritans have no dealings. In fact, they hated one another. And Jesus actually began to tell him, if you know what water I can give you, you will surely want to drink because you will never come here and draw water again. Of course, this woman who was in sin, who was in adultery, said, look, give me this water so I don't have to come here again. And then Jesus went going on to say, bring your husband. And then this woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yeah, you have no husband because you got four or five. You got five husbands. And the one you're living now is not your husband. And then this woman began to say, wow, you know more about me, huh? Then he began to say, oh, our fathers worship at this mountain. And Jesus began to teach her. Guess what? At the end of the whole teaching, what happened? The Samaritan woman came to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a teacher. Jesus patiently instructed the teaching of God's... What? You're feeling warm, right? Let me just... Okay. So, Jesus led the people to Christ through teaching. John chapter 9, the man born blind as well. All right? There was no preaching, but Jesus just taught this man born blind later on that he was the one. Are you willing to accept him? And of course, the man accepted Jesus. And then Luke chapter 15... when Jesus taught on the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And his teaching was designed to bring people to Christ. He was an evangelical teacher. Okay? The goal of, this is important. If you're a teacher in Ambassador Baptist Church, this is pastorally the counsel. Your teaching is to free people from their sin and bring them to God. The end goal of your teaching is to free people from their sin and to bring them to God. There is no other purpose. It's not to impress people how well you can prepare your lesson. It's not to impress or not to have the wow factor. It's at the end of the day, it's to free people from their sin and bring them back to God. That's an evangelical teacher. Notice in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, verse 28 verse to 30. Let's read together. This is a wonderful passage about what Jesus is teaching the people. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Ready? One, two, go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Okay? The Lord Jesus says, learn of me. Learn from my life. You have carrying burdens in your life? Learn from my life. You are going to have freedom and rest for your souls if you just learn what I teach you. Okay? So he is an evangelical teacher, number one. Number two, but he's an ethical teacher. What do you mean by ethical teacher? The word ethical has the idea of morals, right and wrong. Okay? So as an evangelical teacher, his teaching was to instruct those who are dead in sin to find their way to God. That's an evangelical teacher. But as an ethical teacher, listen, after they have found their way to God, he will then have to teach them how to live for God. Does that make sense? Okay? So he's an evangelical teacher to bring people to God, and then after they become Christians, how to live for God. The Lord Jesus taught too. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the great ethical teachings. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And ye are the salt of the earth. Okay? Ye are the light of the world. And Lord Jesus teach them, specifically, in the past he has said, thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you. And the Lord Jesus is teaching them morally how to live if you're a Christian. Does that make sense? So he is an evangelical teacher and he's an ethical teacher. As an ethical teacher, his goal is to instruct those who have lived through him, who become Christian, how to then live in this world. Okay? So whenever you read the Bible, in the Gospels especially, there are two. You have to identify, is Jesus teaching us how to get to God? Or is Jesus teaching us how to live? for God. Okay, so there's two parts to his teaching. The saved must be sanctified and led to serve the Savior. This is a very important truth. You will find that Jesus make no excuse that after we become a Christian, our goal is to serve him, and he teaches us how to do that. Many Christians, after they get saved, they live for themselves. That's not what Jesus said. Okay? Our goal is to live for him. The forgiven must learn how to be faithful to their Savior after they've been saved. All teachings, therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament is not a bunch of knowledge to fill the mind, but it is to transform the believer's life through moral action, biblically right motives, and character change. I say again, the Bible in the New Testament is not to fill believers with a bunch of knowledge in their heads, but is to fill the heart, is to transform the believer's life through moral action, biblical motives, and character change. If, after reading the Bible for years, and there is no moral change, no character change, there is a big problem. All right? We'll touch on that at the end. Okay? Many of the teachings of Jesus seem to be idealistic and many times impractical, even today for many Christians. Okay? As I studied that, I was thinking, wow, this pastor had insight. He said this, many times it appears to be quite revolutionary, Jesus' teaching example. Can you think of a teaching of Jesus that is very revolutionary, that in this world is unheard of? Can you think of one? Yes, Anna? You said something. That's exactly what I have. Jesus said, love your enemies. Not your animals. Of course you love your animals. Jesus said, love your enemies. I don't know about you, is that revolutionary? You never heard of this in this world. You know, this person do bad to you, better do back to him. Do one to others before others do one to you, right? No. Jesus said, love your enemies. Forgive those who offend you. Those who ask of you, give to them. Those who ask you for something, give to them. Don't lend to them, give to them. That's what Jesus taught. It's like, huh? That is not possible. That's why many people don't believe the Bible. How in the world can you love your enemies? That's revolutionary. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. If the Lord Jesus Christ was just an ethical teacher, he would be just the same as anyone else. He would say, oh, okay, yeah, the person may hate you, ma. You can do certain things, but you know what? You have the right to be angry also. Do you? When Jesus said that, I want to understand, when Jesus came to teach these things, he wasn't coming here just to teach a bunch of teachings. He was coming to change lives and change society. Because he saw this society as selfish, which is true. He saw this society as sinful, which is true. He saw this society as proud, which is true. And when he came and he began to teach the people, he wasn't giving us earthly wisdom, amen? He's giving us heavenly wisdom. And when Jesus says, love your enemies, he's serious. He wants to bring people back to who God is. But the teachings of Christ, I like this part. Just listen to this. I believe I printed it out there as well. The last part. Hang on, let me see whether I jumped. Okay. The teachings of Christ has often been sublimely practical, in other words, very secretly practical, for those whom the Holy Spirit touched and whose hearts are set aflame with a Christ-like love of men. You will never be able to understand what it means to love your enemies unless God has touched your heart. Agree? And that is the essence of Jesus' teaching. When we come on Sunday Bible Hour and worship, does the Word of God touch your heart and say, yes, Lord? That's what I need to do. Or, okay, you want to say, good, that's fine. Welcome back, Brother Songwei. Amen. Anyway, do we, when the Word of God comes, do we accept it as the teaching from God? Or is it, I can kind of take it or leave it? Many of the teachings of Christ is revolutionary. You know what? You know what's a word that people use for that? Well, this church is very strict. Actually, it's not strict. It's just different. It's from heaven. And sometimes as human beings, we just cannot understand unless our hearts are filled with God's. And when we come into service, we will prepare, Lord, speak to me through your Holy Spirit. And when you hear a phrase like, love your enemies, Lord, I know that's in the Bible. How do I love my enemies? You won't be asking, you sure know how to love enemies? You won't have that thought because you've already gotten past that. You know that this is God's word. God says to love your enemies. And you will say, Holy Spirit, teach me. And you know what? God will. Okay? Whatever Christ teaches us, he will supply the strength so that we can do it. Amen? When we genuinely follow Christ and hear his word, he will give us the strength to it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 to 24. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 to 24. This is Paul's heart for the Christians, and this is my heart for all of us as pastor. The Bible says, and the very God of peace set you apart, sanctify you wholly. How? And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless without sin unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says in verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In other words, Paul says, I'm praying for all of you to be set apart in your heart, your mind, and your soul. Your heart refers to the innermost part of yourself. You will get rid of all hatred, you'll get rid of all unforgiveness, you'll get rid of all pride, you'll get rid of all selfishness, that you will be pure before God in your heart. In your thinking, you will be pure, you won't think evil of other people, you will be thinking the right things, you're making decisions in the right way. In your soul, you will feel things the correct way, you'll make decisions the correct way. Paul says, I'm praying for your heart, your mind, and your soul to be preserved blameless until the day of Christ. And guess what? Faithful is God, who calls you and who will also do it. In other words, God will be involved in helping you if you will let him. Okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ taught on many topics. We'll be touching on many of them. Any questions up to there first? Okay, I'm hoping to draw this, and then after that, I will finish up with the seven lessons. Faithful is he that calls you will do it. The Lord Jesus taught many topics, and we'll be touching on many of them. Okay? Many of them are pertinent to ourselves, our lives, our church, our character. I hope all of us will pay attention as we go through these few weeks because it's what Jesus said. No matter what he taught on, though, we must understand one thing. When Jesus taught, what he says is truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to come to that conclusion every time we come on Sunday by our Lord, if this is in your word, that's the truth. I have to obey that. Luke 20, verse 21. Okay, Luke 20, 21. Can you turn there? Oh, sorry, it's over there, actually. Luke 20, 21. Under, he was an ethical teacher. Luke 20, 21, the Bible says, and they ask him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. We have to accept that as believers. If he's our Savior, we have to accept Jesus' teaching as true. Amen? Because he's true, he's God. Okay? And the people, interestingly, in Luke 19:48, notice what they do whenever Jesus preached. And could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. The soldiers wanted to arrest Jesus. They couldn't do it. If Lo Thia Kiang were to teach, sorry, Lo Thia Kiang, Bukas Padi, and then the PAP come and stop him. Guess what the crowd will do to them? Oi, why you stop him from saying? Right? In the same way, the soldiers wanted to arrest Jesus, but because everyone was so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and his words, the soldiers couldn't do anything. Can I encourage us when we come to church to do exactly what the early people did? That we'll hang on to every word. Ignore the person, hear the words. Because it is the words that will change our lives. Teenagers, don't fall asleep. Try not to. You know, over the years, people have eaten chewing gum and things like that just to stay awake. In the past, in the Baptist churches, when you fall asleep, what they do, for the ladies, if you fall asleep, they will have this long stick with a feather. The ushers will come and disturb you. Okay? For the men, they will just use a stick. Wake up. You know why? Because the church realized the words of God is so important that no one should fall asleep. And they will want to wake the people up. I'm not too sure, Brother Song Ling, we need to discuss whether we need to do that as well. But anyway. But you know, the people hung on to the words of Jesus. Because he was a good teacher, and his teacher, and the teachings had life qualities. Okay. Now we'll look at the qualities of Christ the teacher. And this is useful for us because all of us are teachers of some sort. For parents, you are teachers to your children. If you are teaching in a Sunday school or VBS, you are teachers to the little children. For those who are older, maybe the youth and all that, you teach the other people. These are qualities of the master teacher. We need to have these qualities too. All right? Look at John 1, verse 4. Under qualities of Christ the teacher. The Bible says, in him was life. In Christ was life. In Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay? I want us to take note of this. Let's look at this fluorescent light, right? In this fluorescent light is light, right? Okay? This light has to be dispersed. Okay, dispersed? Dispersed so that people can see. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, in him was life. In Christ was a life. Eternal life, abundant life is in Christ. And this life was the light of man. People need to see that light through the life. Okay? Now this was a very convicting truth as I was studying this. Let me read this. What made Jesus' teaching illuminative? That means what made Jesus' teaching very clear was the holy life behind them and pulsating through them. What Jesus was in himself gave weight to what he taught. His life was not detached from his teachings. In other words, what he was, he taught. Because he realized in his life was the light of man. If my life is not right, the man will not receive the light. I don't know about you, if you apply that to our setting as pastor, as man of God in the church, as whatever ministry you're serving, as mom, as dad, the question we want to ask is our life in Christ being translated and the people can actually see the light of our life. And when we talk, that light shines strongly, consistent with the teaching that will give life to that person there. Does it make sense? Do you know what I'm saying? Basically, just put it simply, your teaching is very dependent on the testimony you have. Because if there's no life, there is no light. And Jesus made sure, because in him was the light of man, life of man, he had to teach it in such a way that people could see that his teaching and his life was parallel, aiming for the same thing, holiness and love of God. Okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ is presented in the New Testament as being holy, righteous, faithful, true, just, guileless, sinless, spotless, innocent, harmless, obedient, meek, lowly in heart, merciful, patient, long-suffering, loving, compassionate, forgiving, and his life is shining through his teaching to become the light of men. That's why many of us gradually, as we become Christian, over the years have changed. Last time we were very short-tempered. Now we are long-suffering. Last time we were very quick with our tongue. Now we are less. We are slower with our tongue. Last time we were not so prayerful. Now we are more prayerful. Last time we are not so forgiving. Now we are more forgiving. Last time we are not so patient. Now we are more patient. Why? Because as we study God's word, the light of Christ is coming through his words. That's why the word of God is so important for us. Because it is through the teachings of Christ that we understand the life of Christ so that the life can become our light, that we see the light. And then we'll say, okay, that's the light, that's the way, I'm going to follow that. Does that make sense? All right? Any questions? Okay. He has the moral. Okay. What some of the qualities of Christ the teacher? want to actually go back to his childhood first. Jesus had the moral and spiritual training in the home. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 51-52. I think it's over there. Yep. The moral teaching and the spiritual training that Jesus had. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The Lord Jesus Christ, listen children, one very important characteristic trait that made Jesus great as a teacher in the eyes of men, that people would be drawn to him. You know, what's a key word in verse 51 that Jesus had? What quality, what character quality did Jesus possess? Anyone? No, look at the verse in verse 51. Sorry? Okay, he was obedient. Okay, the key word is, he was subject. You can never be great unless you're willing to be submissive. The Lord Jesus was exalted to be the high. God gave all judgment to him, you know why? Because he became obedient even to the death of the cross. I don't know about you, but that is actually a pattern for us. That's revolutionary. And unless we as Christians will receive that with the Holy Spirit, many of us will actually still insist on our ways. But Jesus had a moral and spiritual training in the home. In John 7:15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how know this man letters, having never learned? How did this Jesus know so many things? He never went to school like us. No, he learned it at home. Through the humble example of mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, and through the instruction in the synagogue, from young, the Jews, every Jewish young person, as a young person, from 0 to all the way to 12, they're supposed to know the Old Testament law. By 12, you're supposed to be able to recite the 613 laws by heart. That takes a lot of time. And parents, when we don't teach even our young ones the Word of God, it's not just about telling a few stories, about teaching them about God. And we allow outside influences to come in. We need to be very careful because the world seeks to draw our children away. The Lord Jesus Christ spent time in his early younger days learning and meditating. Like, I know some people say, Brother Johnny, that's speculation. But you know, by the age of 12, look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46, 47. Let me just read. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors. These are PhDs, huh? Both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. You know, these PhD religious leaders were asking this person questions, and she was asking them questions, and they were astounded at the understanding of a 12-year-old on the Jewish law. Why? Because he's learned at home. And he was able, some people say, no, Brother Johnny, he was God, so he knows all things. The Bible says, Hebrews 5:8, he, though he was son, yet learned he obedience. He was subjection. Okay, so moving on, the qualities of Christ, what was his credentials as a teacher? Okay, I just highlight very quickly, I want to come quickly to the last part, all right? What are some credentials of teacher? John chapter 3 verse 2, the Bible says what? Then came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Number one, he was from God. He was a teacher sent from God. Okay, every Christian, when you are teaching the Word of God, number one, you're a child of God. You will have life in you. When you teach, you are teaching the life of Christ, the light of Christ. Remember, when you stand behind the pulpit, a Sunday school lesson, or even at home in family devotions, when you teach, remember children, remember parents, you're not just giving a devotion. You are teaching your children to see the light in Christ. Because anyone, I can tell you, many, many unsafe families tell moral stories to their children. Agree? Many parents are patient enough to sit down and read to their children stories. But that may not give them light in their lives. But we have the Word of God. And when we teach our children, we need to realize it's not what we believe only, but we have the Lord. As I teach my children and the people around, may they see your light through the words. Okay? Nicodemus said clearly to Jesus, "You are a teacher come from God." Jesus said, John 7:16, Jesus answered and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." This need to be the premise of every Bible teacher, every Sunday school teacher, everyone. The teaching we have is not our own. It's from God. And you must, where do you get a teaching from God? You need to receive from Him. That's why you need to study the Word. Okay? And the Bible says, Hebrews 5 verse 8, though Jesus were a son, he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. It is very important for us to understand this. The only way to know God and His will is through obedience. If you are not a Christian and you do not want to receive Christ, you will not know what God has for you. Okay? The Bible is very clear. In John chapter 7, verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether he be of God or whether he has will of myself. Okay? So this is what the Word of God actually says. Of course, he was a man sent from God, but he is God himself. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was the living Word. The Bible is the written Word. And both are consistent. What you see in the Bible, you will see in Jesus Christ. What you see in Jesus Christ, you will see in the Bible. Does it make sense? That's why we teach. That's why every Sunday, Friday night, Wednesday night, if you go to a discipleship group, on Monday nights, when you see, basically when we teach the Bible, we are teaching Jesus Christ and what He stands for. And as Christians, we need to stand for the same. Okay? So this helps him to be able to teach clearly the will of God and able to present clearly as a teacher who has the authority and clarity in what God wants us to know. Okay? But the first lesson we must all learn. Before we can understand the Bible, before we can understand what God has for us, before we can understand the teachings of Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 3 must happen to us. Must happen to us. And what is John chapter 3, verse 3? Let's read together. Ready? Oh, you have to turn there. John chapter 3, verse 3. Let's turn there. Very important. Underlined it. The first lesson we must all learn. Remember, as you turn there, let me just give you the background. Nicodemus was a religious leader. He came to Jesus by night because he heard Jesus talking about the spiritual things. He heard Jesus talking about the temple that he was going to destroy and build in 3 days in John chapter 2. And Nicodemus came at night to Jesus. Why? Because he was very concerned what his other friends will say. Isn't it true sometimes as non-believers, we are interested to know about Jesus, but we are concerned what the world will say, what our family will say? Well, Nicodemus was someone like that, okay? Doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It just shows that there is fear when we are seeking for the truth. But you know, Nicodemus came to Jesus. Firstly, he recognized that Jesus was a teacher sent from God. You know, the first thing Jesus said to him, and I believe with all my heart, when Jesus said that to Nicodemus, he said, "I know you are a religious teacher and you ought to know these things, but except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus went straight for the key thing. Nicodemus wanted to know all the spiritual things. And the first lesson Jesus taught him, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The first lesson all must learn is this. Before we know what God wants for us, we need to be regenerated. Before we can see, we need to be saved. Some of you come to church, especially the younger ones, I'm not saying that sometimes it's hard to understand. You know, in our classes, when things are hard to understand, what do you do? Hannah, when you don't understand something in your lesson, what do? You go back and go and sleep and play computer games, right? No, what do? You revise. Okay, that's one thing. You go through. What else? If you really don't understand, you ask. Not many people are interested to ask. I'm thankful that some people are interested to ask. But Nicodemus was one of them. Children, it will be a blessing to your parents if you will ask your parents some spiritual questions. Because they can see your heart. Okay, of course, different people, maybe email or SMS, whatever. But you know what? Ask. If you don't know, ask. Before we can see, we need to be saved. In John 10:6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. You know, I'd like to say something else. No one can appreciate the truth as the Lord Jesus has taught unless he or she loves him. That goes on to the second level. Number one, you need to be saved so that you can understand. But you will never appreciate as a Christian growing up what Jesus said unless you already have a heart for him. Do you agree with that? You won't be interested as men to woo a lady unless you have some heart of love for this person. You know what, many Christians, unfortunately, that is quite a very decisive point. And I was trying to say, Lord, am I saying something that is anchored by your scriptures? John chapter 14, verse 23. Just listen to the scriptures. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. If you love me, the Bible says, John 14, 23, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will never appreciate the words of Christ unless we already have a heart for him. Maybe it's because many of the Christians who would walk away from Christ, yeah, they want, many of them want the salvation, but they don't want the sanctification. They want the blessings of eternal life, but they don't want the growing part, which is a hard part. You know? We want the benefits, but we don't want the responsibility. No. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us very clearly, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's what Jesus says. 2 Timothy 1:13, let me just read. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. If you don't love Christ, you will not hold fast to his sound of faith. You know, my question oftentimes, when I was a teenager at age of 13 or 14, there was one Christian camp worker asked these general questions. He pointed to me, Johnny, 5 years from now, will you be a Christian? As if I'll lose my salvation. But I understood what he was trying to say. Basically, he's saying, 5 years from now, will you still be walking with God? Maybe I challenged the teenagers, Timothy, Jairo, Allison, Ethan, 5 years from now, will you still have a heart to serve God? That's a very serious question, isn't it? I can tell you, he was joking. Hey, you, 2 months later, will you still be a Christian? He was joking with another person. But you know, that's a serious question. Will we still be following Christ 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? That's a very serious question, is it not? And the only way you hang on to Christ is because you love him. I say again, the only way you hang on to Christ is because you love him. Okay? Personal reflection, 7 quick lessons from this. Number one, we need to be personal disciples of Christ. Because unless we know, unless we are willing to follow Christ, we will never be able to appreciate what he says. We need to be personal disciples of Christ. Number two, we need to always be attracted to his teaching, not challenge it, not criticize it, but believe it. But put trust in God's word. We'll be talking about faith. And it's interesting, as I'm studying a little bit, what Jesus meant by faith and trust. These are different teachings and these different words in the Bible. We'll talk about that as we go along. Okay? We need to be attracted to his teachings. Does the Bible have... does the Bible and you have... Do you sync with the Bible? You know what I mean? Does the Bible sync with you? Or do you sync with the Bible? S-Y-N-C. As in... You know, nowadays you have multiple... technical gadgets, right? And they're supposed to sync with one another. So it's very easy. If you do your work here, you sync with cloud, you sync whatever. And then wherever you go, you can use your message. Right? Does the message of Christ sync with you? It's interesting, huh? Does the message of Christ sync with you when you're in your workplace? Does the message of Christ sync with you here? And does the same message of Christ sync with you when you're with your friends? At your school, does the message of Christ sink? Or is it all separate? It is an interesting thought. Point number three, we need to realize that Jesus' teachings will rouse the conscience. And it should. If you feel nothing after you hear the word of God and you walk out unchanged, you know, no one is ever unchanged. Because In the Bible, whenever you are faced with spiritual truth, there's two responses. Either you will receive it or you will reject it. And whenever the Son of God shines on a person, either it will melt the heart of stone, also not melt the heart, or it will harden the clay. Either you get more angry at God, or get, you see, the more we reject God, the harder we will, it's harder to say yes to God next time. Would you agree? The moment we reject what God says, one time, two times, it makes it easy for us to say no the next time as well. Okay? We need to realize that His teachings will rouse the conscience. And you know what? I've oftentimes told my children, keep your heart tender for God. Keep your heart tender. In other words, the moment you find that something wrong, Lord, I'm sorry. Straight away. Because God's word would rouse your conscience if you are saved. Number four. We need to teach with the intention to win people to Christ. Number five, we need to also teach with the intention to sanctify them to serve Christ. Parents, if we know that our children have trusted Christ, then teach with the intention of bringing them up to another level of service. But if your children are not saved, maybe the young little ones, focus on planting the seeds of faith through your life, through what you say, through your attitudes, that one day they will say, Mom, I want to be a Christian. Why? Because I heard what you taught, and what you taught is consistent with what you did, is consistent with what you say. When you go to church also, by God's grace, is consistent with the word of God. Mom, I want to be saved. Because that is the direction God was calling me to. We need to teach with intention to win them and to sanctify them. Number six, the effectiveness of Christ's teaching was the result of His holy life. Because in Christ was life, and His life was the light of men. People were able to see God because they saw Christ. Well, that's very challenging, because I had one friend, he's not a Christian, interestingly, he's a Catholic. But he said this, he wrote, this guy is a Christian. And I think I mentioned him before. His name is Kayu. You know what's Kayu? You know what's the meaning of Kayu? It's like, you know Kayu? Not K-A-Y-U. It's K-A-R-Y-E-W. He's a very interesting guy. He's a scrawny, he's like a straw. You know his body? You know, I've just seen people like a straw, the body very thin and all that. And his glasses is like so big, and then his voice very thick. And then his eyes is like, you know? But you know, he's one of the most wonderful Christians I know. You know, he came up to me one day, Johnny, because we sang the song, I love you with the Lord for the Lord, I can see in you the glory of my King. Then he came to me and said, Johnny, can you see the glory of my King in me? Can you see the glory of my King in me? Man, that was convicting. Maybe you can use this phrase, can people see the glory of my King in me? The effectiveness of Christ's teaching was a result of His holy life. And point number seven, to hear the words of Christ, to know it for yourself, you need to be saved. Or you can pretend to be reformed, you can pretend to change behaviors. There are many people today who have changed behaviors without accepting Christ. Oh, Brother Johnny, so what's the difference? If I can change my behavior, that's good. What? Yes, you can change behaviors in this life, but you still die and go to hell. That's the difference. And there are certain things in your life that you can overcome A and B and C, but you won't be able to overcome D and E and F. But with the power of Christ in you, you can overcome everything. Now, overcoming doesn't mean you will win. But God has two ways of helping us overcome. Either He changed the situation or He changed you. And in my experience, I think in many of us, God is more interested in changing the person more than the situation. Would you agree with me? God is more interested in changing the person than changing the situation. Okay? And sometimes God will use different things just to get us to hear His word. Any questions? I told myself I'm going to finish sharp at 10:30. It's 10:31. Any questions? Okay, this is the beginning. I hope, I know some of you are thinking through, but remember we're studying life of Christ. This is your Savior. And this is my Savior. And I pray that you have a notebook or some sort of, or may file this lesson so that you do all the notes you have and study it. And Lord, this is your words. You don't want to think that I put a lot of Bible verses there. Just study what Jesus said. Study the trend of His life. Instead, reflect on those lessons, Lord, and ask God and say, God, am I a personal disciple of Christ? Not just coming to church. There was one person who says that it's easier to follow Christ in a group. That's true. But when you follow Christ by yourself, okay, in the vast expanse of Taiwan, probably in the last few, I'm not just using Ba Song Ling, he's out there. I'm sure he has some Christian people to encourage him. But you know what? Personally, are you a Christian in your own home? Personally, are you a Christian in your workplace? Personally, are you a Christian in your school? Personally, when you hang out with your friends, are you a Christian or are you just one of the guys? And you just laugh at their dirty jokes, you laugh at whatever they do. Are you a Christian? We need to be personal disciples of Christ. And may God help us to always be attracted to His teaching. May our lives change, okay, as we go through this series of lessons. But any questions? Anyone? Is it too hard, too difficult? Okay, hopefully over the next week we'll be talking about the scriptures, what Jesus taught about the scriptures. We want to see firsthand from the scriptures what Jesus taught about His scriptures. And then the next week we'll talk about authority. What does it mean? Many people don't respect authority nowadays. Jesus is very clear about authority. Authority is still something that we have to follow. And because we don't follow authority many times, many systems break down. Okay? And the most tragic one, when we don't follow the authority of God, you know what's the most tragic thing that breaks down? Our own lives. Okay? So, any questions? Right, let's close in one of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the teaching of your word. I pray, Father, that we will just take note of the verses as we follow through the life of Christ, that we might be more and more in tune with who you are. Lord, I pray for everyone who's listening to this and those people who will listen to the message on the internet or rather the lesson on the internet. And I pray, Lord, that we will consider seriously who you are as our teacher. And Lord, you said in your word, learn of me. And Lord, as your disciples, we want to learn from you. Not only to learn from you, not only to learn about you, but to learn to become more and more like you. So that your life can be transferred to our lives. And our lives can be transferred to the lives of our children, our loved ones, and all the people, Lord, that we come into contact with, irregardless of their background, irregardless of their lifestyle. But Lord, I'm asking you to humble us that we might learn the meekness of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the people that are here. We are grateful, so grateful, Lord, that you have brought visitors, and we pray their lives will be transformed too by the word of God. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.